are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars. And right now, we've got a rock star for you, Kimia Farisat, CEO and founder of Style Salute. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. So thrilled to be here.
Good. Well, I already love what Style Salute is about. Lots of themes of female empowerment right up my alley and so much more. Can you tell our audience, what is Style Salute?
Of course. So Style Salute is an online lifestyle publisher for young women. We develop creative, inspiring, contextual content for women. We curate product collections that are based on experiences, and we also host events that ultimately aim to inspire and enable the modern woman to pursue smarter, more informed lives.
And you're in such a fun space, a space that I love, media, content creation.
So much changing.
Yeah, and our entrepreneurs watching and listening, they may have a desire to be in this space too, but I think it can be kind of overwhelming when you first try and enter this space, because first of all, there's a lot of competition. Let's just address that right away.
Of course.
How do you deal with that and make sure that you are unique?
I think the best way to do it is to create a unique visual identity. So have imagery that's consistent in this distributed world where people are consuming your content or our content, especially on all these different social platforms from Facebook to Instagram. There's also our owned and operated .com to Snapchat. You want to really have a unique visual identity so that if someone was to see your content on one of these social platforms, they don't necessarily see a Style Salute watermark. They'll intrinsically know it's a Style Salute piece of content just by the visual. So I think a visual identity is really important, as well as a voice that stands out. So when I think about the voice of Style Salute, some of the words that come to mind are positive, really positive, authentic, inspiring. So really knowing what your voice and visual identity are can really, for us, it's been able to distinguish us from other media brands.
And there's always space for new people. So if your passion is media and content creation, you just got to go for it and then just go the extra mile, like you said, to make sure that you really stand out visually and through your voice.
Of course. Yes, I very much agree with that statement.
Yeah. And there's so much opportunity these days because you don't just have to be a blog. You can do events. You can do branding opportunities. There's so much. So could you break down a few of the different facets and, you know, buckets that are within Style Salute?
Of course. So the main product that we work with is branded content and native advertising. So we partner up with brands that stand for something that matters. For example, we're going to be working with a brand called Hum Nutrition, which is a beauty and nutritional brand for women. And their goal is to make women feel beautiful from the inside out. So we partner with them and we do branded content as well as social media publishing. And like you said, we host events that that really bring women together and together to like share an experience and understand a brand a little bit better and get to know them a little bit better.
And you were sharing with me before we started this interview that a lot of these brands do want the multiple layers and a bigger campaign even within their collaborations, like with a Style Salute. So can you tell me what all goes into a campaign, everything from the blog post to the event perhaps?
Of course. So like you said, brands aren't just looking for one solution. They're looking for custom solutions that are designed for their brand. So we do 360-degree layered campaigns, which will be across branded content, as well as the branded content you find on our owned and operated on our website, as well as social media publishing. So we'll share that content on all our social platforms, as well as events that that bring out their audience and their consumers out to connect with the brand and understand it better. For example, with Hum Nutrition, we're going to be having a tasting station where you can taste their beauty products and their powders and kind of experience what the brand is all about.
And I love what you shared with me earlier too about how brands really want that interactive networking event type experience because it's just more memorable and more fun, right?
It is. And brands and people are connect with the brand more and they have more brand loyalty long term. So there's studies done that show that, for example, a survey that was done by EventTrack shows that 95% of women today are more likely to purchase a product at an event or be connected with a brand after experiencing an event and or attending a live event or even seeing like a live broadcast on either Instagram or on Facebook or on any of those social platforms. So live is just so important right now.
Yeah, it reminds me of what the opposite of that is and what we see so often when we're scrolling through Instagram and we see this Instagram influencer post, you right. know, their next tea that's going to help them lose weight. And you can see right through it, right? That right. that they're... It's an advertisement, plain and simple, right. and it doesn't feel very native.
Right.
And I think that maybe worked well at a certain point, but I feel like that's working less and less.
Yes. So millennials, I often hear that millennials hate advertising and Generation Z women hate advertising. That's really not true. Women today actually love brands and they want to, but they want to hear from them in an authentic way. So we really just hate advertising when it looks like advertising. So if a story is told from the perspective of a trusted source, for example, StyleSuit, people are more likely to learn more from the brand on how to use the product or how to improve their lives by using the product.
Can you give us some insight on how to make this authentic for those who are considering partnering with brands? How do you make content just feel very organic?
Of course. So work with brands that really that have this the same kind of messaging as you do. For example, we're working with a company called Elvest, which is a digital investment platform for young women. So this came out of a need seeing that women are not investing their money, and because of this, they don't have enough to retire long term. So we work with them to help tell the story about how women should start investing a little bit younger. So we've done branded content pieces, which will be Invest Like a Woman, a go-getter's guide to financial feminism. And we have branded content that guides our readers on how to take control of their finances and really just feel empowered. And investing shouldn't feel intimidating. It should be empowering for women. So we teach them on how to do that. We'll have like a 10-step guide, and it'll all be from our partner, Elvest. And then these conversions that happen to Elvest's platform for women to sign up either for making a financial plan or just understanding their finances a little bit better. They're more intent driven conversions, and you don't see it as advertising per se, because it's actually helping our reader make their lives better.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is you're adding value to your readers. You're
right.
not just saying, hey, you should be more financially savvy. You're teaching them to be more financially savvy. So I think education is a really, really good tool to really make it count.
Exactly, yes. Millennial women especially, they want to be, they want informative content to help make their lives better.
Yeah. So this is not your first business. You had one before this, so take me back to your first business.
Of course. So post college, I would say 2005, I launched a high-end luxury woman's cocktail dress collection. So we sold to about 60 to 70 retail stores in the States. We also worked with online retailers like Revolve.com and Shopbop. Sold to some international retailers in Saudi and Dubai and Kuwait. And it was a wonderful experience. Exited in 2011. And, you know, being an entrepreneur, I did want to work in media, but I wanted to understand it better because the media landscape had changed so much. So I had went back to school, and I had originally studied media and journalism. So went back to school to kind of understand the landscape a little bit better and how to work in media and be able to monetize it with different avenues. So went back to school and then launched StyleSuit, came up with the idea and the business model behind StyleSuit in 2016 and launched in August.
So what are the main things that you think people need to know about media and how it's changed?
Of course, the main things is everything is digital now. So understanding that information can have so multiple different revenue streams. So kind of knowing your audience really well and being able to find what works best for you. So don't just throw gum against the wall or spaghetti against the wall and see if it'll stick. Kind of understand who it is exactly you're targeting and know which different media models or which different monetization models make the most sense for your brand.
And what are some of the various monetization models that maybe you explored when you first were considering starting this idea?
Of course. So, for example, affiliate marketing. Mm-hmm. We work with retailers from Nordstrom to Bloomingdale's to smaller retails to, and the products that you're linking to what on StyleSuit are all linked to those affiliate partners. But because it's not as intent-driven, we're shifting more towards doing branded content, so working exclusively with brands hand in hand and creating content for them and using those products. So those would be different ways.
Yeah, and obviously which brands you choose to partner with is very, very important. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back, but we're going to take a short break. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE, 844-91-BIBLE.
We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. Welcome back to Business Rockstars. We are continuing our conversation with the CEO and founder of StyleSuit. And we were mentioning how you partner with so many amazing brands. It's really important, obviously, when you're doing brand partnerships, collaborations, etc., that those you work with are on brand, right? And that it's a good brand fit. So what are some of the things that you think of to make sure that a brand or a collaboration is a good fit?
Of course, so for us, we're really always about inspiring and empowering and celebrating women. So when we work with brands, we focus that the brand has the same messaging as us. For example, we would never do content that's aimed at losing weight because it's not in our value system. So we would never work with a company like SlimFast, for example, but we would, of course, work with companies like Lane Bryant that are all about plus-size women and confidence. So really understanding what your brand is and working with brands and working with partners that have that same messaging and the same value system, of course.
I think there's often a misconception in the content creation space that if you build it, they will come. And that is true to a certain extent. I know that I've had some people reach out to me, but for the most part, you have to build it and you have to put yourself out there and sometimes have some really big asks. So tell me what it's like for you. Do you have to go out and approach these brands to ask to work with them?
Of course, more often than not, we make the approach. Often brands come to us as well, but being an entrepreneur, you have to be out there. You need to hustle and you need to go to networking events. And when you make those connections with brands, really show them how your company is different and how it could help them. So really being out there as an entrepreneur is just one of the key key lessons I think I've learned over the past like 2-3 years.
And what are some of the ways that you put yourself out there? Events, obviously, one of them. Do you just email? Do you just call? How, you know, share a few of the ways.
Networking is so important and getting out there. And, you know, no entrepreneur is going to become successful sitting behind a computer screen and sending emails because you want that one-on-one connection. You want to know who the founder and the leaders are of a business, and brands want to know that as well. So really putting yourself out there and being your own brand is so important.
Meaning get out there face to face.
Get out there.
So
get out
there face to face. So you think the number one thing is to be at an event? yes. for example, or set up meetings.
Be at an event or set up meetings or go to their office, pick up a phone call. But, you know, don't just send emails back and forth because, you know, email inboxes get inundated and it's just so the same. So really pick up a phone, go to an event, do face-to-face and, you know, in-person contact is just so important.
Yeah, and I think utilizing, I know you and I chatted briefly about this, but utilizing your personal network too, because you never know who you know that knows someone where you can say, hey, do you mind making this connection for me? I'd love to set up a meeting with them.
Yeah, nothing ever happens if you don't ask for it. So you have to know what your asks are and put yourself out there and really ask for what you want and use your network. Your network is your biggest asset. So even if you're going to be doing a media company, for example, start with your community, understand what their needs and wants are, and then expand past that. Like know who your friends are, who your business contacts are, and really reach out. Use LinkedIn, make phone calls.
Yeah, come at it at every direction,
right?
It's bound to work. And not only that, but you have to follow up. So you may first meet somebody in person, but then you need to follow up either with an email or through
exactly.
a LinkedIn invite or whatever the situation calls for.
Exactly.
And then I would imagine you probably have marketing materials to support what your ask is. Do you have a deck or how do you go about laying out for them how they can partner with you?
Of course. So we have a media kit and that we send to our brand partners when we're when we have a request for a proposal. So we first make sure that they're interested in either earned or paid media. And then after that, when they make the request, we create a proposal for them, which is in the form of a media kit, kind of telling them a little bit more about our brand and our value system and how we could create valuable experiences for their consumers and their buyers. So definitely having a media kit that tells the story of your brand is so important.
So cool. So we just talked a lot about, you know, more of the paid content, or I should say sponsored, branded content that you create. But then also you have a bunch of free content just to add value to your audience. And you get help with that, thank goodness.
Yes.
So you are only one person. You can only do so much. So you've got contributors, for example. How do you find these contributors and what is it like working with them?
Of course, so we work with about 15 to 20 freelance editors as well as contributors and experts. And these are all women that are in the core demographic of the women we are targeting. So they are speaking to that voice and they understand that generation a little bit better. But sometimes contributors reach out to us and they're interested in writing expert content on their particular like interest that they're writing on. We'll have like physicians reach out and talk about how they are interested in writing healthcare related topics. For example, a piece that's going to be coming up later this week is the case for soy, like how soy is actually good for you or what you should be consuming. So we work with experts and contributors in that way. And then we also work with freelance editors that create content every day. So every day on StyleSuit, we have 10 pieces of new content that are going up. And those are all written by our amazing freelance editors and writers.
Any advice for working with these contributors and editors to make sure that it still is doing your brand justice?
Of course. So just make sure that they understand the brand. Really make them the captain. So like empower your team. I think that's one of the most important things as an entrepreneur is to hire very smart. So hire people that understand the value system of your company, work well in your company culture, and people that really believe in the mission. So StyleSuit, we are a mission-driven company. Our mission is all about inspiring and empowering and celebrating young women. So just making sure that they understand that and they're writing content in the voice of StyleSuit.
Absolutely. Do you go and read all of the articles first before they're published, or do you typically trust that they're going to be good to go? How does that work?
Of course. So I have a lead editor that reviews all the content before it's published. And of course, in online media, any online media publisher, there's always a mistake that happens. Content is like so high in demand right now. So sometimes something may go up and there might be a little bit of a typo for a few minutes, but it's always fixed.
It's quickly corrected. What is your number one piece of advice for aspiring entrepreneurs?
My number one piece of advice is don't be afraid of failing, because you will. You're going to. So just know to get back out there. If any successful entrepreneur, if you were to talk to them, that you know that they've had their setbacks. So I would say just always just be strong and be able to get back out there.
And I think being flexible, to your point too,
yeah,
because they can just be mini setbacks, mini mistakes, and you can always pivot and redirect. And like you said, just pick yourself back up. Keep on going. Well, thank you so much.
Thank
really
you so much
appreciate
for
it.
Me.
Love what you're about.
Thank you so much. It's been exciting to be here.
Awesome. We are the biggest entrepreneur platform on the planet. This is Business Rockstars.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews, so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Terry Wilson is joining us. She's the CEO of I Done This.
Good afternoon.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you very much.
So your company, I Done This, what do you guys do?
So I Done This is a very simple tool. It's really asking what you've accomplished every day, hence the name, I Done This. You also get to set your goals for each day and then any blockers. And so if you need to draw that to the attention of the team, you can do that by setting a blocker. And it's based off of the Harvard Business Study by Teresa Ambell, who talks about the progress principle. Getting something done every day really creates intrinsic motivation. And that's what you want your employees to feel when they're in the office or wherever they're working, as we have a lot of remote customers.
So you have basically metrics and analytics around the fact that you can say, hey, look, can we talk about the clients you said they're using this?
Yes.
You said like Uber has mm-hmm. like 200 people. And so if they're using this, then they can check in and they can show all the stuff that they're done. So at the end of the day, you're developing metrics as more and more companies start using this to be able to show them, here's how a team of 200 people were more effective, more motivated, more efficient, got more done, and mm-hmm. how it compounds. You can actually track that.
Well, so that's something that we're looking with a data scientist to really yeah. build. It's going to be more forward focused, where we're hoping to be able to say when projects are going off track and when they're going on track. I've heard that 50% of any timeline you set for a project, the first 50% is wasted. And that is, you know, it just, there's not that rush there. There's not that deadline. And this is something where you're able to share what you get done. There's accountability within your team, as well as personal accountability for saying, this is what I set my goals at the beginning of the day. If you use I Done This like that, and you're able to stay on track and really focus and not get drawn into the emails and the meetings and the yeah. phone calls that happen in everyone's life.
Okay, awesome. And the future of your company looks like what? Where is this headed?
So that is the future. Right now, we are just tracking it. And okay. as we have over 200,000 people who have signed up over the last 6 years, we are able to start doing metadata and be able to find out who are the successful people, what are they doing every single day, and how do we encourage them to do that more and more.
Fantastic. And what made you ultimately want to create this? Was something in your life where you were like, oh, I'm just not managing my time well enough, and you created your own little kind of chart to manage your time? What was it like?
So I actually am not the original founder. I came in at the end of 2015 when the original founder, who actually started it to lose weight, wanted to just make sure that he worked out every single day. And that was the overall goal. For me, 2016, we launched a new product. So I'd done this 2.0. We set up a new office in Vegas. I got married. I move across the Atlantic. Lots of things happening. And so for, my personal drive for productivity is driven by wanting to do more and more professionally as well as personally.
Okay, awesome. Take me to the journey. We talked about this, right? I want to go back to the beginning because I always love to hear people's stories. If from day one as a kid, I had a lemonade stand and I always wanted to be self-employed and own a business, be an entrepreneur. What were you like?
So my father was a small business owner. So I actually did not want to be an entrepreneur whatsoever. I wanted to be as far away as possible because I saw you're always on. You're always thinking about that. Yeah. And then
it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Well, it can be. But then once I graduated college, I ended up going into Peace Corps. And so I was in West Africa and I really saw, there are things that you can do that matter every single day. And the people you're doing that with is the most important. And so when I came back, I did found my first startup, Exceptional Cloud Services. And I found that as an entrepreneur, you're able to control what you're doing and bring a work environment where other people want to spend the most of their life, working together. So that's really what it is for me, is creating a team that is happy and productive and keeping everyone accountable.
Well, how do you create the great team? Where are you finding these people? Because I think that's something that a lot of entrepreneurs talk about on the show is, it's either hard to find talent or if you do find them, it's hard to keep them. So how are you doing that?
So there's a lot of different ways. I mean, you always, we have started where you just find people off of ads, Craigslist ads, and you have to screen a lot and that moves forward. And then you also just develop networks. And, I've been spending a lot of time in the Bay Area. There's a lot there. We, in our office in Las Vegas, we actually find that there's already an existing mentality of customer service and the customer is already right. And so we can teach the SaaS side, but I think the personality and the cultural fit is the thing that is most priority as we go through the interview process.
So many people have their locations in Vegas, I feel like. Why did you choose Vegas as the location?
Because, I love the Bay Area, but where we find is the sales and marketing really can be done anywhere in the world. And Las Vegas is one of those places that there's a hub. We are a remote team. So we have a presence in San Francisco, in Las Vegas, in Japan, and in New Zealand. And if there's 41 million visitors a year to Las Vegas. And so everyone can kind of come in for our team huddles and get together. And then you can have a bit of fun in the city as well.
I was going to say, and you can have a little fun and gamble, go see a show.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got CEO of I've Done This, Terry Wilson, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. And I want to talk about what do you feel like is a habit or a ritual that you've developed in your life that has either helped serve you personally or professionally?
So one thing that I think actually crosses both sides is I have an I've Done This setup with a friend of mine where we track every day three things that we're thankful for. It might sound very simple and, a little yogi or something like that, but I find that it could be a teammate who's created something really strong. Or it could be something that I'm thankful that I was able to fit in an hour of rock climbing today. And it's just looking back, reflecting, and appreciating everything that we have.
What are you doing on social media? I feel like this is something that can be outsourced to a lot of
people. So that's something
we
definitely have insourced. So content marketing has been our most successful channel. And so to be able to have content marketing reach the right people who are relevant, then we need to make sure that aligns very closely with our social media.
So are you doing targeted ads?
We do targeted ads.
Okay.
And that's because we, retargeting is something that we find big on our blog. We have, people come and spend 15 minutes reading our blog posts. These are meaty concepts that people are finding very interesting years after we publish them. And so we know if you're interested in becoming a better manager, if you're interested in team communication, ultimately, I've Done This is something that can help you do both.
Okay. And what are the types of things that really move the needle for you guys? Are you doing video? Because that's the big trend right now. Everybody's putting content on video. And if you're not, then you're missing out on a huge opportunity. What's working for you guys? Is it getting featured in articles like, Fast Company, Huffington Post, Wall Street Journal, or is it just creating content on your own blog?
So we've largely focused on content on our own blog. Haven't hopped on the video train yet. I'd like to see more metrics and, you know, longevity and sustainability. Being a 6-year-old startup means that we're not always the trendiest, but we're all about sustainability and growth and being able to continue to serve our existing customers. One thing that we find is we write blog posts that come directly from conversations with our customers. So we want to know what their current pains are, what their current concerns are, and then we're able to reach more customers or potential customers who share those concerns.
Well, talking about concerns, I want to shift and talk about adversity for a little bit here. Mm-hmm. People relate a lot more to failures than they do success. So what was a season of adversity? You said you've been in business for 6 years now with this company. Mm-hmm. Could have been something in your personal life. It doesn't matter. What was a season of adversity that you overcame and ultimately, you know, found a gift in? Because I feel like most people that come on the show, something terrible happened in their life or in their business, but they found a gift in it and it's something that serves them now today.
Well, I can think of top of mind was something that just happened in 2016, most recent, is we launched a brand new I Done This 2.0. And this is something looking at much larger organizations, you know, Twitter and Airbnb, you know, 100 plus seats, whereas our average is a little bit smaller, around 10 team members. And we took away some of the features that had been built into I Done This 1.0 after 5 years. And we made, kind of pulled the Band-Aid off real quick and moved everyone over. And we got very vocal customers. You know, all year long, you're asking, you know, please make some time to talk to me and give me feedback. And now all of a sudden we have more feedback than we can handle. Yeah. But those conversations mean that we're at a better spot than we were before.
I want to actually shift gears on a question here as the last one on this topic is price points. You guys said your price point is between, name the prices again,
$12.50? $12.50 okay. up to $45 seat.
Okay. Did you guys test those price points?
So we've tested those. I hate even putting that on the record because we are always testing. Yeah. We think we add a lot of value for each team member, and we want to make sure that that gives us a sustainable way. So we're
I thought it was cheap.
Thank you. Great.
I thought that was very affordable. Like if you can, especially if you can just be even a little bit more productive or motivated, then $12 to $45 a month is nothing. If you can't quantify that as a return, then you probably shouldn't use the service, but it's such a low price point. That's why I was shocked.
Well, so what we find is that we actually have a calculator where you're comparing it with your salary for your average teammate. And if you make them that, you know, fraction of a percentage more productive, then it pays for itself. I had a customer once who said he knows in the first month of when he purchased I Done This, that payback was already done in the first week.
Oh, of course.
And so it was gravy after that. Mm. And it's, you know, invaluable. And so it's really getting the adoption, making the having the team use it every day so they can see their own personal progress. And it allows the manager to not be the bad guy and asking, hey, what have you done today? What have you done today? Once they intrinsically become motivated, then that is ultimately going to be the most successful.
Which is a good point because no manager wants to be the one that's like constantly looking over somebody's shoulder, reminding them. And then it makes the kind of the team morale, I think, overall a lot better. So somebody says, I done this. I want to check it out a little bit more. It's only $12.50 at the base. Where can they go and check this out?
idonethis.com. So you can find everything you need there. You can chat with us right there. So we're there to help.
I'm shocked that domain was available. It seems like somebody probably would have taken that. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Terry.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we connect a community of entrepreneurs. If you'd like to be a part of it, you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, or online at businessrockstars.com.
Investing in yourself as an entrepreneur is one of the best things you can do. Here's a few ways to keep making investments in yourself, even if you're an overwhelmed entrepreneur. I'm Alex Worley with a Business Rockstars Minute. Number one, go back to school. School itself can provide new connections and spark creativity. Finishing a degree or starting a new one can make a big difference. Plus, just about every school has a part-time program. Number two, physical health. If your ability to work is the most essential thing to your business success, it makes no sense to risk it. Staying healthy is basically an investment in your business. Number three, networking. Most people view networking as an opportunity to advance their business, which it is, but it's also just as important in building personal connections. I'm Alex Worley, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute. Fuck.
the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Message and data rates may apply.
What if there were a top-ranked business degree that gave you access to world-renowned faculty leaders and mentors, but on your schedule? The W.P. Carey School of Business at Arizona State University is now accepting high-quality applicants for its online MBA, Information Management, and Business Analytics master's programs. Learn more about the W.P. Carey business degrees online. For more information, text RANK to 79645. That's RANK to 79645.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, brought to you by Asus.
If you've ever tried to buy tickets to a Sacramento Kings basketball game, you are likely interacting with Sarah Martinez, the Kings sales and marketing assistant. But what makes Sarah so special? Well, she's not actually human. She's AI, or artificial intelligence. Alex Terry from Conversica explains.
The AI assistant helps the Kings on a variety of projects. For example, with season tickets, group ticket sales, or selling of the suites, not to mention like pre-event things like draft parties, and even really ticket sweepstakes. And so any professional sports franchise has millions of fans. And so interacting with those millions of fans is a daunting challenge. And so AI is really the best way to have those personal one-on-one conversations at a very large scale.
More is at conversica.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, brought to you by Asus.
How to automate your sales process. I'm Alex Worley, and here to help us answer that question, my guest, Sean Connect, co-founder of Pride Bites. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So you have a super top secret process for automating your sales. Tell me
exactly.
All about it.
Super top secret.
Not secret anymore. Yeah.
So what we've done at Pride Bites is we've kind of eliminated cold calling, and we kind of automated our cold emailing process using email sequences. So what we do, we use our email platform, which we use HubSpot, but there's many out there that you can choose from. I'm sure the one that you're using has this process. What we do is we create a 5 email sequence. So it's 5 separate emails, but they go hand in hand with each other. So the first one would be introducing yourself, your product, and what you're selling. Then the other follow-up, the other 4 follow-ups are kind of, hey, I haven't heard back from you. This is what we're like, kind of, and then reselling your product. And the third one, the fourth one, the fifth one are kind of similar to that. So you're always following up. And the only time that those cold calls or cold buyers would get this email is if they didn't respond to the first one.
So once they respond, you take them out of the email list.
Exactly.
That's automated.
Technically, it's automated. So I don't have to. So once I enter them into this sequence, what we call email sequencing, I send one email to you per se, and then you get it today. Say you don't respond. 1 week later, you'll get email 2.
So each email sent once a week until they respond.
Yeah, and you can set it. You can send it once a day or every day, every week, every 5, however you want.
But it's worked well for you to do once a week.
Every 7 to 10 days is kind of my sweet spot.
Yeah, because there's a fine balance between being too naggy, but then also letting too much time go on where they forget about you.
Yeah, my personal motto, professional persistence. So if you're following up and being persistent in a professional manner, no one's going to get mad at you. Obviously, there's the outliers where people would be like, stop emailing me, but those are few and far between.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, the copy is where it really, really can solidify whether or not you're being professional or maybe too much. So give me an example of some of the verbiage that you use to be professionally persistent.
So on the email 2, 3, and 4, we do something as, I know I apologize for the consecutive emails, or the second and third and fourth emails of the follow-ups are, I apologize for sending you multiple emails, but I have something that might be really interesting to you, or I just need 5 minutes of your time. And these are all short and sweet emails. You never...
Very short,
150
sweet,
words or less.
Yeah.
I would suggest try to have a call to action, whether it's schedule a meeting with me and include a scheduling link. So all they need to do is click the link, all your calendar's there. They click it and they're done. No, and that'll also reduce the back and forth.
Make
hey, are you available
easy.
At 1 p.m.? No, yeah. But how about 3? How about tomorrow?
And get to the bottom line. Like, what is it that you want? Say that in a obviously professional,
kind,
gentle way, but be clear.
Yeah, and then I would say on the last email, email 5, I would say, okay, clearly this isn't working with us. Please let me know why, so I can be better at my job. Is the timing not right? Do you want me to follow up with you in 6 months? Are you not interested in our product altogether? Do you hate me? You know, like, you obviously make
circle
it fun.
Circle one.
Make it fun, obviously, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you want to connect with this person.
Yeah, if you can make them laugh a little bit, that's always a good thing.
Yeah, so once someone does respond, whether it's after email 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, they get automatically taken out of the email sequence, so they won't get any automated emails. And then the email in your inbox is going to be a warm lead.
Yeah, as soon as that they respond, whether it's after the first, second, third, fourth, whatever it is.
You know they're interested.
Yeah.
Which is half the battle. So instead of sifting through a bunch of cold emails and cold calls where you know they're not interested, you're only answering warm leads, per se.
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of schedule the phone call to get down to the bottom line of, okay, so how can we work together?
So how do you first come up with this list? Just the old-fashioned Google way? I guess that's not old-fashioned, you know, obviously the best way nowadays.
There's multiple ways to prospect these days. Obviously, at the end of the day, to get the most quality leads, doing your homework, doing the actual research will by far be the most efficient way. Mm-hmm. But it is a little bit more time-consuming. Actually prospecting, whether it's Google or now with social media being so popular, finding people on social media, and because their contact is usually there.
Yeah. So anywhere you can find their email address, the goal is just to make a list of all the local stores.
Yeah.
Find the person who's buying, find their email address, add them to the automation system.
Exactly. Google, Yelp, LinkedIn. There's a number of sites that you can use. There's also companies that you can buy lists based off what's called SIC codes. Every business is affiliated to an SIC code. So for us, we would buy a list of 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 companies pertaining to certain SIC codes, whether it's categories or specifically.
So give me an example of a company you can buy a list from.
One of the companies that we use that we like is called List Giant. We basically, they send us an Excel sheet of every SIC code that's out, which is thousands.
But in your industry?
No, general. They'll send
so
you
how
every...
how do you sift through
so
all
So we search via keywords that we're looking for. Say we're looking for a certain category that we want to target, like breweries or food and beverage.
Okay, so there's a search component where you can narrow it down.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And then we say, okay, we want 5,000 or 10,000. They obviously have tiers, and they give us their email address. And then we enter them into the email sequence. So right now, as we are doing this interview, my email address is probably emailing a couple hundred people as we speak.
Yeah.
And the only people that are responding to me are the ones that are interested. So I don't have to waste my time on, is so-and-so interested? I'll know that that person is interested because there'll be an email in my inbox saying, hey, I saw your email. I'm interested. Let's talk.
That's awesome. Yeah. Amazing. Thanks for all those secret tips on selling. Really
Don't
appreciate
tell
your time. Okay, we won't use this. Just kidding. My guest, Sean Connect, co-founder of Pride Bites. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Alex Worley, and this is Business Rockstars.